What is net neutrality?
Yes, it's a bit of a confusing topic for most people, but the big idea is basically that it's a debate over how should the bits that are traveling over the internet be treated, especially by internet service providers who sort of provide the connection of the last mile to everyone's home. And basically the debate is, you know, whether or not they should have the choice to provide preferred services or fast lanes for certain types of internet service providers or websites or companies, and do that by you know, charging an extra premium in order to allow those that traffic to flow, or whether all traffic and all bits should be treated equally.
All right. There you go. Now here's the challenge with this, Derek. I saw a special on this. I've done some reading on it. Mm-hmm. The old adage is follow the money and you'll see the problem. The problem is both sides of this, whether it's government or the free market, have got a dog called money in the hunt. How do you sort this stuff out?
Yeah, this is a complicated issue because it's not just a technical issue or a computer, you know, a science issue. It's a political issue, it's a commercial issue, and so on. On the one side, you have the internet service providers who are saying, like, look, we need to make money in order to build infrastructure and add capacity so, you know, you can watch your favorite shows on your, you know, on your smartphone and in your home. And so they see this as a way to generate revenue by saying, you know, if we can actually have the right to charge people for fast lanes, then we can use that to build our infrastructure and so on. But on the flip side, there's other people saying, well, now we've got a situation where the more powerful or more more richer companies then will have preference when it comes to content that's delivered to your home. And in order to ensure innovation and that the small guys who want to start up new services and so on have an equal kind of footing on the internet, we need to ensure that there's no preferential treatment. And so it's a bit of a philosophical debate of sorts. But it involves money and it involves, you know, certain principles that people hold too dearly in some cases. And so the debate has gotten quite heated in the last couple of weeks and months.
Well, Derek, how does all of this roll up into the idea of the internet as a utility?
Yeah. Okay. So in order to understand that, basically there's this legislation, the Communications Act in the United States. I'm up in Canada, so we have a slightly different structure here. But down in the U.S., you folks have the FCC, which sort of regulates all of the different types of communications in your country. And there was this Communications Act back in, I think it was 1934 or something like that. But it had different categories for different services. And the internet, up till now, or until just recently, was classified as a information service. And the FCC had tried to kind of regulate net neutrality, saying all bits should be created equal. And that was challenged by some of the service providers in the U.S. And the court said because the internet is currently classified as an information service, you don't have the authority or the power to regulate it like you would a utility or a telecommunications company, for instance. So the big news this week is just basically that the FCC has reclassified the internet as what's called a Title II service, which basically means that it's effectively made it similar to a public utility, and now they can actually have more teeth to regulate it.
This is an interesting topic. Derek Sherman is our guest right now, professor of computer science at Redeemer University College up in Ontario. Mm-hmm. From your perspective, Derek, is this, if the government, and they've instituted, by the way, from my understanding, is that law from the 1930s. They've gone back to that with the internet. If they fully institute this, is this more at risk than just the speed from the provider? Is there a privacy issue entangled here? What's all at risk?
Yeah, so you've got the two different sides. You're having ISPs or internet service providers saying that, you know, we need to have a revenue model that allows us to build our infrastructure. And on the other side, you have many internet users who say we don't want a company deciding which traffic flows to our phones and to our homes faster than other traffic. We want to have, a neutral net is what they call it. And so there's a whole bunch of issues mixed in with that. But if you look to other places in the world, for instance, the Netherlands, they've enforced net neutrality. And if you talk to people there, things have continued to work satisfactorily, and people get, you know, the service that they expect. And in some cases, what it might mean is rates might go up, that the end users then actually pay a little bit more in order to ensure that bandwidth and infrastructure can be put in place to, you know, meet the demand of all the, you know, streaming services and so on. But I think, you know, as Christians, you know, the notion of justice would kind of say that, you know, you want to make sure that there's a level playing field, and Right. You want to make sure that, you know, you have a platform that allows new ideas and new things to be unfolded, that you have culture makers in society who are, you know, building new tools and so on. And you want to build an infrastructure that allows people to have an even footing there. On the flip side, I'd say that, you know, perhaps there is a good argument for the fact that there should be some limits, that a completely, you know, a neutral net in some cases might not be desirable. Like the case that immediately jumps to mind is child pornography. Should internet service providers be obligated even to kind of block child porn sites?
Right.
You know, those are not neutral bits. And so are there some edge cases or some specific cases where maybe you can justify the fact that some things just ought to be blocked?
Give us the Christ followers' perspective. How should we think about net neutrality, and how can we weigh in on net neutrality?
Yeah, that's a really good question. I think that some Christians tend to lean towards the notion that there is nothing, you know, there's nothing that our faith has to say about technology or perhaps wider areas of culture. And I think that that's mistaken. I think that, in Colossians 1, we read that, you know, Jesus Christ is redeeming all things, and that all things were made for him and by him. And that includes all the possibilities in creation, and that includes technology. And we see with net neutrality that it's not just, you know, a discussion about bits and bytes, but it includes issues of justice and includes issues of commerce and economics and so on, that all these other sort of aspects sort of come into play when we look at various technological issues, especially in computing. And you see that with personal information and privacy, with copyrights and intellectual property. You see that with social networks and virtual communities. What's a Christian perspective of that? And I think as Christians, we're just at a point where we're starting to grapple with the implications of all of these sort of new technologies that have sort of sprung up in the last number of years. And net neutrality is just a recent example of how these issues aren't just technical ones, but they're laden with all kinds of social sort of issues. And so our faith, you know, speaks to the kinds of values that we ought to pursue when we're looking at these different technologies. And so, as I mentioned, in the case of net neutrality, we want to, you know, as Christians, we understand, you know, a need for justice and for a fair playing field and so on. But we also realize that there should be limits, right? Also limits to free speech and the kinds of things that you can put on the internet, especially in cases of, you know, the example I cited, child pornography.
Yes.
And so on. Some things I think should not be treated in the same way.
Well, I think that the first response that I've heard, and I don't even have to think about this, I know this because I've had several conversations, one just yesterday with a dear friend and prayer partner about net neutrality. I think that as believers, like you said, we can think, oh, well, this really doesn't matter, but it does. And it's not just all about the money. How much hope can we can pray with hope always, but how much hope is there that the legislation, as it continues to unfold, will keep these social issues and factors in mind?
Yeah, no, I think that what's happened, there's been a groundswell of sudden sort of interest and support of this. I think there was something like 4 million people filed public grievances to the FCC. I mean, this has created a tremendous amount of mobilization among people. And I think just the fact that the issues come up, that we're discussing it, you know what? We're seeing how the internet, you know, is used as our communication device, as our news source, and so on. And we want to make sure that all the different voices, including Christian voices, I suspect Moody Radio is also streaming online and so on, and we want to make sure that there's a fair level playing field for all the different voices that have to, you know, engage in a conversation in the public square. And so I think it's an important issue that that people you know, need to recognize and appreciate. And so I'm glad that the awareness has come up, and I think it's important for Christians to also be aware and join in the discussion.